Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Up the Poshcast. This week, it's myself, Ashley, joined by Lods and Max, as we discuss Posh's 1-0 win over Cardiff in the FA Cup, what we enjoyed about the game, and the importance of giving all players a second chance and a fresh start. Before we dive in, a massive thank you to our partner for this episode, Elite Lawn Maintenance. They're a local, independent, family-run lawn care company specialising in renovations and chemical treatments. They run treatment programs within 30 miles of Peterborough, and their products are up to 360 times stronger than what you'll find at your local garden centre. With over 10 years' experience maintaining football pitches, including Posh's, they're Peterborough's leading independent lawn care company. Contact Elite Lawn Maintenance today to arrange a free lawn consultation, and Up the Poshcast listeners will receive 25% off their first treatment. And with that, sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. Right, Lods, talk me through Peterborough United 1, Cardiff 0 in the FA Cup.
Well, I'd like to know what Dara thinks to that, winning 1-0. We know how much he hates winning 1-0. No, I am joking. I don't actually want to talk about the game to begin with. I want to talk about the overall atmosphere of the game. I was quite vocal on Twitter about how many tickets we'd sold leading up to it. I think the attendance ended up being under 4,000 Posh fans, which, quite frankly, it's embarrassing from us. The tickets were under £20 and there shouldn't have been an excuse not to snatch them up on that offer. And all the people that complain about ticket price and really have to look at themselves for not participating in that now that the club have made tickets available for under £20. But I have to admit, as soon as I got to the ground and I went into the fan zone felt just as busy as it normally did. There was a really good, happy atmosphere around. Went into the stadium, saw Bielo warming up, the lineups were announced, and Ryan de Havilland was in the squad. And it just felt like a really sort of, I mean, I love the FA Cup as it is. My first ever Posh game was in the FA Cup. And I feel like there's a different atmosphere in Cup games. And I know people say that it's lost its gravitas and it's boring and not compared to the league. But I personally, I like the FA Cup games and I really enjoyed the atmosphere on Saturday. And I think, I mean, it's Luke Williams is the reason why, isn't it? We've got this fresh manager in and it feels like a reset. And all throughout the game, the fans were just so behind the players. And the London Road Terrace was probably the loudest I've heard it since the safe standing went in. And it was only half full. The family stand were all joining in with the songs. The North Stand were all joining in with the songs. It just overall felt like such a feel-good atmosphere. And I know the result goes hand in hand with the atmosphere and the vibe, and obviously winning definitely helped with people's happiness, but it just feels like a complete reset at the club now. And I was really happy for the 4,000 Posh fans that did go. It felt like we were all together and we're all behind the team. Whether we wanted Darren Ferguson to go or not, it just felt like we were all behind Luke Williams and behind Posh, and you know, happy to start again and put everything that's happened last season and the beginning of this season behind us.
Yeah, Lods, I think you're right with the atmosphere there. And I actually think that it resonates back to when we went with Caden, didn't we, to go and watch the FA Vase and Trophy Finals Day, is that Wembley, despite being a 90,000-seat stadium, when there was like 5,000 or 6,000, it felt louder, didn't it? It was because naturally there was less of the murmuring. And I think that was probably the reason why yesterday felt so much louder, because there wasn't hundreds of families. And as good as the grassroots days are, you have families that are talking between themselves, and no different to when we go to the game. We talk about the game between each other. And although we're not including ourselves in the chants and things like that, when you're making natural noise, it makes everything seem louder. So actually the fact that there was just the London Road End chanting, the North Stand chanting, the family stand joining in with the chants as well, that probably helped. And ultimately it was exciting football yesterday. I think that's probably the key thing, is that right from the get-go, it was, right, we're going to be on the front foot. We're going to press. We're going to put Cardiff under pressure. And ultimately that then meant that everybody was excited for the game. Yes, we missed a chance early on. Harry Leonard put the ball wide and he probably should have scored. But come, what was it, the 35th-ish minute, I think it was, that he scored. Then you're given hope, aren't you? Thinking, okay, well, this is new dawn. We've not conceded in the first 20 minutes like we have all season. We've not given away sloppy corners, or there was a few obviously mistakes. There was the one that Alex Bass made that save as well, where Callum Robinson probably should have scored, and things like that. They all bring the crowd together. So I think all in all, it was an important first game. There's lots of things that, and I've thought about over the last sort of 24 hours or so, that we discuss many a time, players being the shiny thing. I think yesterday was that. It was very much, like you said, Lods, is that it was a fresh start. It was a fresh start for the manager. It was a fresh start for the squad, fresh start for everybody behind the scenes. And I think that we're going to have another version of that next weekend when we play Wimbledon, in that people are going to be excited to come to the ground. There's probably going to be 9,000 in there, with it being a grassroots day as well. The GH is open, all of that sort of stuff. And I just hope that we can carry on from yesterday and bring it into the league as well, but hopefully go there. And rather than just scoring the one goal, we go and score two, we go and score three, maybe even four. And look, clean sheets are going to be great, but if they don't come, then so be it. Let's just make sure that it is exciting.
Yeah, it was a fantastic performance. And that's the big thing for me, is that I really wanted to see some energy. I said on Countdown to Kickoff, when I was chatting with Steve and Charlie, that the big thing I wanted to see was a pattern, a new system, some energy, some life, something that Luke Williams was able to instill in his very short time here. And we saw that yesterday, and the result was great. I said that it was basically a free hit, and if we got absolutely pumped by Cardiff, it wouldn't bother me. Because it's a transitional time, but we came out and we gave it a really good go. And that was fantastic. And the fact that we were resolute in defending, although we had some calamities, we had some scares, that's to be expected. This isn't our best centre-back three, I don't think. I think as time goes on, that will evolve and we'll get better at playing out the back. We'll get better at playing at the system. And if we can play with a four at the back, we're going to have Peterborough United back. We're going to have the identity. You know, we're not going to play with these sloggers or in a back five, or we're not going to be hoofing the ball with no pattern and bland football. We're going to have exciting football again. And it was showed yesterday that actually we can play good football, and this squad is not down and out, which is fantastic for me, because that Cardiff team was basically full strength. There wasn't a lot of rotation in that Cardiff team. It was a very strong one, and we've gone and gave them a fantastic game. And that to me is evidence enough that we are going to be okay, and it's going to be a fight. But if we can play like that for the remainder of the season, like every game's a cup final, I've got no doubt in my mind that we'll be fine and we'll be safe this season.
It's really interesting to see how the same group of players can play that way under Luke Williams and not the same like that for Darren Ferguson. I sort of felt it towards the end of Ferguson's reign that it maybe was him that had lost the dressing room and they didn't want to put the effort in for him. And maybe the fact that there's a new manager in, they just want to impress him and they're going to put the effort in now, and it might not last long term. But certainly it is exciting football, and I am going to get behind it, and we should all be promoting it as much as we possibly can. I suppose the one big change that Luke Williams made from Darren Ferguson side that he put out in his last few games is that he went back to the 4-2-3-1 and played with wingers. And these wingers were both available for Darren Ferguson, albeit one of them's Odo, who I actually thought had quite a good game. He was playing in front of the North Stand in the first half and got to see a lot of him. It seemed like all of our output was going down the wings. It seemed like all our creativity was down the wings. And I think Lisby was probably better at getting the ball in the box. But what Odo was doing, he was sort of helping out defensively, but also his positional. And he was very smart with his play. He was winning free kicks. He was making lots of movements to allow players to move into space. And Luke Williams has only worked with these players for basically 2 days, hasn't he? So I'm not sure where Odo's got this from. I don't know if it's just a one-off, but like I said earlier, this fresh reset's great, because we can all get behind these players that we thought were rubbish until they let us down again.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing, Loz, that you mentioned there, is that actually it does sort of feel like a fresh restart for all of the players as well. And maybe we need to take notice of that and actually give them the chance that they deserve, whether it's been undercoaching, poor coaching. And this is the difficult thing. Again, I've sat here for the last sort of 24 hours and thought, I don't really want to sit here and slag Fergie off, slag Rooster off and slag Scarfy off. But it wasn't working. And if yesterday is anything to go by, then, you know, that it clearly wasn't working on the training ground. I saw somebody mention as well that he thought it all went wrong once Dale Tong left, that there's every chance, isn't there? Like you mentioned, Lods, Otto, when we think back to the first game of the season, he essentially hung Harley Mills out to dry by just not defending for pretty much the whole game, left him isolated 2-on-1. Mills was being tucked inside. Yesterday, we didn't see any of that. And I saw lots of times where Otto was basically alongside Kyoso and helping him out. And it felt like a team yesterday as well. I think that Kyoso had a really good performance as well. He was overlapping from Otto. And I think the one big thing that I did notice is that it was very much, like you mentioned, Lods, is get the ball down, get it moving as soon as like it's a free kick or it's a throw-in or it's a corner and one of those things. And sort of Kyoso and Harley Mills pretty much justified them, or not justified, I can't think what the word is. They showed exactly what Luke Williams wants from his teams by just playing football quickly, even the corners. Like Harley Mills, he was running over, sprinting over, ball down, move it on. Kyoso throw-ins, the same thing. So it was a good performance from both of them. And I just hope that they don't get exposed by a back four, potentially by whoever's alongside them.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. And I think in time, we are going to find a back four that really works. And I think right now, our biggest problem is we're without our club captain. We're without Sam Hughes. And that's the biggest problem for Luke Williams right now is we've got to find a back four that is going to work and is going to be able to play at the back and he is going to be able to rely on. And I think George Nevitt would work in a three. I don't think George Nevitt is going to work in a centre-back duo because of his pace and the way Luke Williams wants to play. So for me, that rules him out unless we play with a back three and then he's back in contention. I think Tom Lees showed yesterday why he's probably not going to be that candidate. Very similar reasons to George Nevitt. I think he's too slow and I don't think he carries the same ability to pass the ball as George Nevitt does. So that rules him out of contention. I thought if we played a back three, we could see Peter Chiozza drop in and we could see Frith play wing back. By the looks of things, again, we're not going to play that back three. So we don't need that. So ultimately, I think the best centre-back duo that we've got at the club will be O'Connor and Hughes. And I think we will get that eventually when Hughes comes back and he's fit again and he can play minutes and we can build the minutes up into him again. I think we're going to see that centre-back duo and I think we're going to have a back four that we can rely on. And we are going to be able to see Peter Chiozza bomb up the pitch and get into attacking positions. I know he lacked that yesterday, but his defensive ability was fantastic. Harley Mills already looks like a duck to water almost in that role of getting up and getting down and bombing up and down the pitch. If he's doing that already and Chiozza can do that, once he's got a centre-back that can play properly on his side, I think we're going to have a back four that's going to be fantastic and a back four that's going to be really competitive as well.
Yeah, I was expecting him to play the back five yesterday and I'm not overly convinced he's going to stick with the four either. You have to remember that both George Nevitt and Sam Hughes were unavailable for him to choose, so that might have forced his decision. I mean, we looked good in the four and you and Charlie both said about Kyoso playing right centre-back in a back three. I thought his performance yesterday was very defensive. It was very good. I think I rated him an 8 out of 10. He was very good defensively. He didn't let anything past him. He was doing all of the smart things that Ashley mentioned before. But he didn't really get up the pitch. I don't really remember him affecting things in possession too much. So it does make me wonder if he's told him to play that way just to see if he can have that option as a right-sided centre-back. The centre-backs, I do agree. It was a weird game to sort of rate them because the first half, we were obviously dominating possession and we were relying on their ball playing. I thought Tom O'Connor made a couple of mistakes in possession, but Tom Lee's, there was one obviously in particular that Ashley mentioned, where it was such an easy pass to make and he just sort of did it so carelessly, didn't he? Gave it straight back to their attacker, and luckily Alex Bass bailed him out. But then towards the end of the game, when we were sort of a bit back to the wall, Tom Lee's really came into his own. He was barking at the players. His positioning was great. He was heading everything away. All the things that we praised Sam Hughes for last season. And you imagine that Tom Lee's is playing instead of Sam Hughes at the moment. And I'm starting to think that perhaps what Ashley said about Sam Hughes being sort of like a relegation battler as opposed to someone that you want in possession that's going to lead us to a top six finish. It might be the case, judging by yesterday's performance. I know Sam Hughes is probably a little bit better at playing out than what Tom Lees is, but if their main attribute is backs to the wall and heading things out of their area, that's probably not the top attribute we'd want as a centre-back in a Luke Williams side.
Yeah, Tom Lees is a really interesting one because it's very clear that he is bringing all sorts of experience to this squad and this team at the moment. And I think, obviously, we know that he's on this sort of pay-as-you-play, or like you've got a contract until Sam Hughes is fit again contract. But I have a sneaky feeling that Tom Lees will step up into a coaching role at Peterborough United once Sam Hughes is back. I think that there's a reason that Luke Williams hasn't brought an extra coach or an extra sort of assistant with him. He's got himself and obviously Ryan Harley, and he's left potentially the space open. He's brought up Ryan Semple to assist in the short term. I think that's because there's going to be a space for Tom Lees going forwards. And it very much does feel like, again, we are waiting for players to become fit again. Max, you obviously mentioned Frith there. We saw obviously that he was on the grass this week in that inside training video. So is he close? I don't think we saw too much of Sam Hughes in that, but hopefully Sam Hughes is going to be back by December. What it would be quite nice is, thinking about the FA Cup draw, if we could get a lower division team, somebody in the Conference North or Conference, where we can bring Sam Hughes back in for that particular game and give him 70 minutes, let's say. I would imagine we're probably going to see him in a 21s game before that as well. But I think from the defence, look, how you can't... I struggle to complain about the defence. And I think back to Burton as well, when everybody was like, it was a terrible performance. I struggle to complain about a defence that keeps a clean sheet. It's as simple as that for me. They've done their job. Same with the goalkeeper. He stops that one, like I mentioned earlier, from that poor pass from Tom Lees. He's done his job. His claiming again was strong. His kicking, he made the right decisions, Alex Bass, then. And I think that he's somebody that's really come into his own recently. He obviously had a few sort of dodgy moments at the start, didn't he, Alex Bass? But over the last sort of two or three games, he's really taken that mantle and is showing why we've paid this money for. And I'm sure that Luke Williams will be delighted to work with him.
Yeah, I don't know if there's stats out there that can tell us how many times Alex Bass caught the ball yesterday, but it felt like it was every other minute he was catching a cross or catching a shot. We always sort of rate goalkeepers' performances based on their saves, and he didn't really have a lot to do from that point of view, but he definitely was just very like good at coming off of his line and sweeping up those crosses, sweeping up those through balls. And his kicking has improved massively as well. We had criticism over his kicking at the start of the season. He's been playing them long balls to Harry Leonard, and Harry Leonard's been holding the ball up well. And there was one in particular that I think it was Harley Mills it went to on the left-hand side. It was towards the end of the game. We were up against it. We had a lot of pressure. And Harley Mills had got himself really far up the pitch. And Bass just found him, and Harley Mills managed to win a corner from it. Literally out of nothing. There was no way that Harley Mills was going to be able to take on the three defenders that was in front of him and get the ball in the goal. There's no other posh player around him, but he still managed to get to the byline and win a corner. And you could see all the players turned around to Bass straight away and put their thumbs up, because that was all him finding Mills, kicking it 80 yards or however far he was away from him. I'm really impressed with those little things that Bass does away from the actual shot stopping, which is often what we use to rate goalkeepers.
Yeah, I did have a quick glance to see if I could find that stat for you, Lobs, but I couldn't. So I don't think I'm going to be able to help you there. I will just move up the pitch, though, because I did want to just very quickly talk about Ben Woods. And it's very interesting with Ben Woods because we talk about players that Luke Williams is going to love to work with. And I think Ben Woods is going to be one that he really enjoys finding his best. Now, we know that the calibre that Ben Woods holds, Fergie was not able to unlock the best of Ben Woods, I don't think. And I think Luke Williams will be able to do that. From first glances yesterday, he was played a multitude of midfield roles and played them all very well. And I think it's interesting that he didn't just play the traditional role of being a box to box or partnering Archie Collins, but we also saw him in creative midfield. We also saw him being that box to box. We also saw him dropping deep and collecting the balls and bringing the ball up the pitch. We saw him do a lot. And that's something that I really enjoyed. Some, you know, a multi-role midfielder. And that's something I think we lack. I don't think we have a midfielder that can have that does those sorts of roles. And what I also really liked about Woods is the relationship that they seem to have. There was a lot of moments where Ben Woods walked over and was speaking to Luke Williams and started really smiling and was laughing. And they clearly have a good relationship already. And Luke Williams has been in the door for what, 4 days, 3 days prior to that FA Cup game. So the fact that they've got that good a relationship already, I'm really excited to see how that partnership progresses. But I was really happy to see Ben Woods come into a role, a player that I talked really highly about, and he never really got to those heights in the short time he's been here. I think we are going to really see the best of him, and we're going to see why we spent so much money on such a good player.
Yeah, there's one thing in particular that really impressed me with Ben Woods, and that was his pressing. We obviously know that Luke Williams' side set up to press quite high up, and naturally you'd assume it'd be the strikers and the wingers that do that press, but it definitely felt like the wingers were sat a bit deeper to try and protect the wings from being attacked, and it looked like a diamond out of possession, if anything. We have Harry Leonard and Jimmy J. Morgan leading the press from the striker positions, but Ben Wood wasn't that far behind him, doing that relentless pressing work. And every time, I don't know what the midfielder it was that they were giving it to, but there was like a deep line midfielder in Cardiff's side that every time it got to him, Ben Woods just knew it was like a trigger. He just knew that he needed to get on him. And they really struggled to play through us. They couldn't get the ball to the wings because we had our wingers sat back, and they couldn't get the ball through the middle because Ben Woods was just doing such a good job, and he was just relentless. And he kept that for 85 minutes as well. I know we brought him off in the end for Don O'Brien Brady, but I always struggle to, when we first get a midfielder in, I always struggle to work out sort of what their role is in the team. And I have to watch them for like a good few games to sort of work out what they're good at. And like you said, Bax, Ben Woods seems to be good at everything, basically. He hasn't impressed me of being a master of anything, but he has like basically a talent in all areas. And there's one thing in particular as well I want to mention just before we move off away from Ben Woods. There was a free kick that we had on the side in front of the North Stand. And I mean, you mentioned it earlier, actually, about the set pieces and how fast we tried to take them. There was that one in particular. We couldn't take it quick. And Harley Mills was stood in front of the ball, so blocking basically the ball in the goal. And it looked like Ben Woods was about to take it. And they had a fake argument to basically trick the Cardiff players into thinking that they weren't about to play it. And then they quickly played it. I don't know whose idea that was. I don't know if that was from Williams or that was like something that Mills and Woods sorted between them. But I really liked it because it did catch him off guard. And I actually thought the ref was about to stop play because he wasn't ready. But he'd blown his whistle. He was ready. It was the Cardiff players that weren't. We didn't get a goal from it, obviously. But I really rate little things like that. And I can't help but feel it was Ben Woods that might have come up with that plan.
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of follow on from what you'd both sort of said about the press as well. And it was refreshing to see something different to what we have seen previously for sort of the last 18 months, I would say. And Max, you obviously mentioned at the start that it was kind of like a 4-2-3-1. Lods, you've mentioned a diamond. The way I saw it was that it was very much a 4-1-3-2 when we were out of possession. And it was two groups of five probably, but even then Archie Collins was moving himself up and really getting involved and doing those things that Archie Collins does best. I think for me, probably somebody that I'm a little bit concerned about again is Jimmy J. Morgan. I know there's been lots of comments on, well, he was injured last week, but to have come off after 55 minutes again, that does sort of concern me. I just hope that we can start to see more of him. And equally, is he going to be right in this system? Because we've got somebody like Garbett, who I think would come in and would probably play the 10 role, if we're going to call it that, slightly better than Jimmy J. Morgan is. But then how can you take out somebody that has scored however many goals he's got since he joined us at Bosch? It's a really difficult one for Luke Williams to work on.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke a lot about Jimmy J. Morgan not being able to play 90 minutes. And I think when you bring a manager in that likes a high press, like Luke Williams does, it's hard to imagine Jimmy J. Morgan getting anywhere close to 90 minutes. And yeah, okay, he had that injury. That might have been the reason why he didn't play. And I don't think anyone was actually expecting him to play, going off of what Luke Williams said in the pre-match conference. I actually think that Jimmy J. Morgan might end up being a super sub for us, because I think he has got that energy and it is good in that short burst to begin with, but it's not sustainable. And I think if you bring him on sort of 70th minute, that's something like a really good game changer, someone that can press from the front and have that energy and maybe grab a goal, because we all know that he's good at getting in the right spaces in the box. My only issue with that is that I don't think Chelsea will allow it. I have a feeling that Chelsea sent Jimmy J. Morgan to us so he could get fit and so he could play 90 minutes consistently. And if we can't start him and we're only bringing him off the bench, I think that they're not going to be happy with that and end up calling him back. The substitute that we brought on for him, Brandon Keller, that's such a brave move. I think it was on like the 55th minute. We brought on a midfielder for a striker. I know we were 1-0 up, but we were still going for it. We were still trying to get a second goal. And I have to admit, it's a very good decision, because Brandon Keller obviously has a lot of energy himself. And he's another one that could be a really good impact for Luke Williams off of the bench. And again, he was pressing from the front, which is what he wanted, really, from that role. And that's what Jimmy J. Morgan was doing in the first half. Brandon Keller basically did it as well. They both have a sort of a different skill set. They both played different positions, but out of possession, their role was the same, which was to basically get at them and stop them from playing through. So maybe we'll start to see just one striker up front and an extra midfielder. He probably is going to prioritise fitness and energy levels and how well they press for those sorts of roles on the pitch.
Let's not forget that Jimmy J. Morgan only scored 2 goals for Gillingham last season. It's not like he was some revelation. If anything, I think Chelsea have sent him to us to test if he's even ready for this level. And he's come and he's got into very good positions, yes. But I don't think his general play is anything to scoff at. I don't think he's going to be a miss if we were to drop him and we were to play somebody different. I think he's a fantastic player and he's proving that. But I don't think Chelsea have sent him here for fitness. I think Chelsea have sent him here to see if he's worth their time, because that's how big clubs at that level work. And if not, how they're going to ship him off. As we've seen, Chelsea are not afraid to sell youth talent. So I think that's why he's here. And if that's the case, and if he can't play more than 60 minutes, then we're going to have to find a route around him. I do want to very quickly talk about Leonard, because somebody said that he'd work better as a lone striker, and he scored his goal when he was a lone striker in a back four, in a back four system. I thought that was probably one of his better displays. He missed the goal. He really should have had 2. But to have a brace playing as a lone striker, and I think Leonard is only going to get better under Luke Williams, because Leonard can do what basically Langstaff could do at Notts County, which is hold the ball up and knock it onto the wingers, which was McGoldrick, who played in behind, he wasn't really a winger, and Jody Jones. But he can also turn and get into the right areas, and he's got some shot power as well. So distance shots isn't going to be a problem for him when he really gets his shooting boots going. I think he's going to be the next best thing, the next line of striker that we produce. And I think Luke Williams is going to turn him into a monster, because I think he's got everything that that Langstaff has, and he's far younger. And I think he's going to really prove that in a Luke Williams system, if we continue to play the four, or if we change to the three, it'll be a 3-4-3. So he'll still be the lone striker. He'll just have two in behind him. If we continue playing either of those systems, I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to be our best player this season. I think he's going to be fantastic. And it's something that I'm really looking forward to watching him develop under Luke Williams.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a difficult start for Harry Leonard, hasn't it? But I would imagine that goal yesterday is a massive, massive weight off his shoulders. And hopefully that gives him the confidence. Look, 5 days on the training ground now. Anything could happen in those 5 days. And fingers crossed it's only positive. I think the one big surprise for me yesterday was probably three of the subs that Luke Williams made. Not so much Keller. We've obviously seen lots of him. But I was happily surprised that the likes of Lindgren, Lolos and O'Brien Brady all made positive impact, to use that loosely, more through the sense that it wasn't a negative impact. We've obviously seen in times gone by where we have brought players of that ilk on, and then we've then gone and conceded goals and we've lost games. But I thought that Lolos put in the energy that we hadn't seen from him so far. Gustav was sort of a little bit chaotic, a little bit erratic. And then obviously Donne came on and just sort of settled things down and controlled the ball well. So it was surprising to obviously look, 9-man bench for the FA Cup, so there's always going to be extra seats to fill and players to warm up before and during half time and things like that. But it was surprising to see some of the names, and it was also surprising to see some of the subs that we made, and those players come on and perform well, and I was happy with that. The only other thing that I think that we should probably talk about, obviously Max and I have not had our chance to talk about the new manager since he came. Obviously, Lods did a fantastic episode with John and a Notts County fan and a Swansea fan. Max, I would love to hear your thoughts on the new manager and how you think that this is going to happen going forwards.
Yeah, first and foremost, I think it was the best appointment we could have made. I think that's the big thing, is that I was a little bit worried that we'd go off-brand. We'd look for somebody, a survival specialist, you know, we'd look for a Steve Evans type profile that maybe wasn't Steve Evans. I thought that was the route we were going to go down. And that was the way Fergie was playing at the end of it, wasn't he? Just playing really toxic, negative football to just try and grind results out. And it worked at Burton and it worked at Plymouth, but it was never going to work against other teams. And I think we needed our Peterborough United back, that identity, that profile. You know, the players that come here don't want to play that way. We haven't promised them that way of football. They don't want to sit in a back five, or they don't want to sit in defence. You know, they don't want to do that. And I think signing Luke Williams as our manager was a fantastic decision, and it was the best appointment that we could have got. In terms of his play style, we saw today, haven't we, what I raved about on Countdown to Kickoff, which was that high press, high attack, win the balls in the final third, have the wing backs overlap, really put pressure on. Unfortunately, our squad doesn't have the fitness to maintain Luke Williams' system for a whole 90 minutes. The subs will come on and help, but really, what Luke Williams has to drill into the players now is he's got to just put them through sprints and has got to put them through fitness training and has to get them ready to do this over and over and over again. If we can get that first half display to the 75th minute before we've got to make substitutes with that starting 11, I do not see a world where we get relegated, even at 5 points adrift, because that was a very strong Cardiff team. And we went and we put on a really good display. If we switch the back three, which I think I'm more comfortable with right now, that's where he got his success at Notts County. I think that's what he'll do to get his success here for the time being. I do not think we have a centre-back pairing, as I mentioned earlier, that works in a Luke Williams system. Right now, without Sam Hughes and with George Nevitt being injured, I don't know if he's going to be back at the weekend. I don't know if that's been confirmed or not, but we know that he's injured. we do not have a centre-back pairing that can play the way Luke Williams wants to. Tom Lees can't do it. George Nevitt probably can't do it. So I think the three is the ideal formation until Sam Hughes comes back. And to play wingers at wing-back, to have Chiozzo play that right centre-back role, have Tom O'Connor and Chiozzo give them licence to go forwards if he wants to, have George Nevitt sit on the halfway line with Archie Collins and spray the balls about. I think that is the way that Luke Williams will set up against Wimbledon, and I think that's the way he'll set up going forward. I am over the moon with the appointment, however, because I have just rambled about systems and tactics and all sorts. I am over the moon with the appointment, and I think the biggest piece of criticism is he's not the type of manager that you want to employ in a relegation battle. Well, to me, I think it's a win-win, because at 5 points adrift going into the start of November, it's always going to be a tough task to get us back up and fighting, regardless of what manager that you put in. We've always got an uphill battle. If we were to go down, we know Luke Williams has a fantastic amount of success in lower league. We know he was fantastic at Notts County. He got them out of the National League and he looked great in League Two. He's the man to rebuild us if we do go down. And that's what I wanted, because I personally believe if we were to employ Steve Evans, I felt personally that it would ruin our recruitment profile and ruin everything that we've worked for, because it would change the way that we play. Luke Williams will play a Peterborough way, and that I can assure you.
Yeah, do you know what? I don't have too much to comment on Luke Williams as a manager, really, because similar to players, I don't get too in-depth with the detail of my research when it comes to new signings. I prefer to actually speak louder than words for me, and I hope that he becomes a very successful Peterborough United manager along with Ryan Harley. But I think the things that are refreshing is that Bergie is a Peterborough United legend. There's no arguing that. We've done that one to death, I think, over the last sort of week, ever since we went live last Saturday. But there was something this week from Wednesday onwards that was refreshing about the interviews that Luke Williams did, refreshing about Ryan Harley's interviews. I saw photos of them coming into the ground, and there was obviously those moments where he went into the changing room and people were doing a tour, and it just felt like, it just felt different, if that makes sense. And that's not to bash Fergie and the previous coaching staff, but it feels like it's going to be different with Luke Williams and Ryan Harley going forwards. And that actually, if he can get the buy-in from all of the players, which I think he did probably from the minute that he walked through the door, Lod, you obviously mentioned it, that the players potentially weren't playing for Fergie. I, of course, hope that isn't the case, because there still has to be a level of professionalism. But if they weren't, and now we're going to get an extra 25% from those players because of getting a new manager in that demands the best from them. The inside training video is great to hear. I wish that it was actually a mic'd up with Luke Williams, and hopefully we can get something like that going forwards, is that he does just seem like a nice guy. And I hope that doesn't get taken too far, but it feels like everything around the club will change and the atmosphere around the club will change, because it's something fresh and it's something different. And ultimately, when you, I've not done the tally on how many years Fergie's been the manager over the last 20, but it's probably 12 to 13. Is that outside of that, it was what, 3 months of Dave Robinson, 3 months of Graham Wesley, 3 months of Jim Gannon, 18 months of Steve Evans, and the rest was all Grant McCann. It's nice to have broken that cycle and have something completely different. And I actually hope at the moment that it's not going to be longer than 2.5 years. It will be longer than 2.5 years, sorry, because he has long-term success with Peterborough United. Right, lads, Peterborough United women. It's been a great season so far, through to the next round of the FA Cup. Unbeaten in the league, 7 games now, 21 points plus 27 goal difference. Talk to me about the last week watching Peterborough United women.
Yeah, I imagine this is where our retention drops off a cliff, because for whatever reason, people don't like us talking about posh women. I've had mates message me asking if the club are paying us to promote posh women. It's not the case. I've really enjoyed watching them this season. I've really enjoyed going on this journey. And I mean, I urge everyone to go and read the article that I wrote about why I go and watch them play, because it is just a different vibe to the men's game. And it surprised me, actually. I've never been a fan of women's football before I started going to posh women. And it did surprise me how much I enjoyed it. So I will start by saying that the last week, I think if any men's team had the similar week to what the women's team have just had, it'd be everywhere, all over social media. Last Sunday, we played against Real Bedford in the FA Cup. Real Bedford are a tier above us. They were third in their division when we played them. So we were definitely the underdogs for that. And we put on a really brave performance. I think it was 4-1 in the end. We were really, really good going forward. And then all of the dirty stuff, we did really well as well. Defensively, we were great in the last half an hour. Every time they came at us, we just got the ball well away from our box. And it was like all of the little like smart things, the gamesmanship, which absolutely nailed down to a T. And then we went from that game into Thursday night playing against Northampton, who we don't get to play Cambridge because they're in a different league to us. So Northampton are quite often our biggest rivals. And I think we played them three times last season. We lost two and drew once, I think, from memory. We've always struggled to play against them. And this season, Northampton aren't really in great form. And obviously, we're unbeaten, won every game in the league so far. And again, we just absolutely demolished them. We scored seven past them, just looked in control from start to finish. And then we go into, we're recording on Sunday evening, the game that we've just played today against Boldmere, who were the other team in the league that have won all of their games. And once again, it was just, we were in control, I felt, from start to finish. We've beat them 3-1 in the end. And it was, again, a really professional performance, one that it's really hard to pull out a player of the match in games like that, because everyone just does their job so well. And it's just all of the little things like covering for each other when one of them's out of position and just talking to each other. And like I said, all the gamesmanship, all of that sort of thing, that just the men's team just don't seem to do it as well as what the women's team do. And I know it's hard to compare because it is, the women's obviously different to the men's, but I really enjoy it. I really enjoy seeing a team that close-knit and playing that well in all areas of the pitch. And I can't see it falling off anytime soon. That's probably the toughest week we're going to get this season. I'm sure there'll be tougher games going forward, but that's a really intense round of fixtures that we've managed to come out the other end of. And we're now 2 points clear with a game in hand with plus 30 goal difference or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think you're right, Lods, and I obviously missed the FA Cup game against Real Bedford and the Nîmes derby against Northampton because I was playing golf in Spain. But to get back today and watch what is an exciting team, it's another three goals. It must be close to probably 40 goals scored now in seven games. You're talking an average of six goals a game, basically. It's exciting. And the thing that I like the most about it, and we really saw it today, is how close you are to the pitch. You can hear them communicating with each other. You can banter with the linesman. You can banter with the manager of the opposition team and get in there. And you can do those things that, look, this is an ex-Premier League footballer that was the manager of Boldmere, Carl Henry, today. And you can communicate with those people. And it's not, he's this ex-Premier League player. He's just the manager of Boldmere today, and that's all that he is. And you don't really get those things, and you don't get that chance when you are down at London Road on a Saturday, or you're at the Cardiff City Stadium and things like that. And I think as well that Posh do a great job of promoting the inclusive of the women's team, and it does slowly, like, you're starting to see familiar faces there every week. You're getting more people come down, and the attendances are starting to grow, and I just hope that it will continue to carry on towards the end of the season. And fingers crossed there's going to be this big crescendo that promotes Posh into the division above and moves them on, and then next season we see higher attendances again. But like you said, Lods, it's obviously next weekend. It's Lee Field at home, a rearranged game. They're another team that are battling towards the top of the league. And then the weekend after, it's Barnsley away. And then the following weekend, it's another FA Cup game with the chance to then go into the third round, I think it is. And that's when you then start to see the women's championship teams coming in, and you're then talking full-time teams at that level. So it's an exciting 3 weeks ahead for the Posh women's team, but it's also going to be an exciting 6 months. And at the like you said, Lots, today was the toughest test. And Jake, the manager, obviously put a tweet out saying that it was a scrappy 3-1. If that was scrappy, then I will take 3-1 every single weekend for the rest of the season. Because as we've said, when we watch Saturdays or Sundays, it's the result that matters. And today was that. And then you watch the players at the end of the game, they're all together. They go around and they speak to the fans. They take photos with players. Yes, you get that if you wait outside reception at London Road after a game. But sometimes you're waiting an hour for the players to come out. This was right after the game had finished. And for girls in football, for boys in football, to get that chance to be close to people that they've watched for 90 minutes on a Sunday, it's really nice to see that togetherness for me. And that's what it's all about. I don't want to bang the drum again too much, because I've said it before, but if you are someone that listens to us and you have a daughter that is, look, anywhere up to 16, my confession to you would be to go down and to give them a chance to watch people like them playing football. It's all well and good taking them on a Saturday to watch the men's team, but it's important to me to show Imogen, look, there's girls playing football there. If you want to be a footballer when you're older, this is the pathway. There's a pathway for you to do that. And that is the chance that I think people need to give it. And even so, what I would also say is the people that go and watch Peterborough Sports on a Saturday, or the people that go and watch Blackstones or Deeping, if you're stuck with nothing to do on a Sunday afternoon, head down to Pimm's Park. Give it a try. You can grab a pint, you can grab a burger, and you can have a good Sunday afternoon, because we're yet to be disappointed so far this season. So positive day today, good football, good goals, good saves from the Bulmer keeper, exciting balls over the top and people running through onto it, and good football as well. I think that's the important thing, is that this is not bad football that we're watching. We are watching footballers that are good at what they do, and what they do very well. And Jake has set up a squad, like you mentioned, Lods, is that you're basically talking a squad of probably 21 players that when you rotate two or three, you don't really notice a difference, which is really important.
Yeah, I'm so impressed with some of these players in this squad. And he's found a really good blend of sort of everything, hasn't he? Like, he's got a really good experience in there. He's got some really good sort of young and exciting players. He's got players that can defend really well, players that can attack really well. Set pieces is just absolutely nailed on. I don't think we scored from a corner today, did we? Which is probably the first time in quite a long time. It seems like every time we get a corner, we're ending up having a shot at a goal. And it must be really tough for him to find a strongest 11. I don't think we've played the same 11 two games in a row, which is understandable because the standard is so high at the moment that if you have even just an average game, the person that plays in your position that sat on the bench is coming straight in, because realistically, they're just as good as what they are to play in the first team. It's something different about, they don't take themselves too seriously, do they? There's no egos in the team. You've mentioned there about the men when they come out after the game and they get their photos with the fans that have waited for them. And you don't get the same impression from them that you do the women when they do it. And it's like the women do genuinely enjoy the fans being there. And I think I wrote about it in the article that even their friends and their family that come and watch, that they're so proud that they're like having chats with the fans. You don't really get that in men's football. It's a completely different vibe, and one that I've really enjoyed watching.
No, I think you're right, Lods, and that I don't want to bang the drum too much, but as I said before, I really think that everybody should give it a chance. And you've got next weekend, and then you've got, what would it be, 3 weekends time, you've got a massive FA Cup tie. So it'd be great to see plenty of people down there. I don't think that we have any other business today. I think that it would be worth noting to everybody that we're actually countdown to kick off this week. We are all over the shop. We've done Friday 8 p.m. We've done Thursday 8 p.m. This week's countdown to kickoff Wimbledon preview will be Friday at 7 p.m., a little bit earlier. So if you are interested in tuning into that, please do. We'll be here. We'll be live on YouTube. We'll be live on Twitter. And then it will be uploaded to Spotify and Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts after that. With that, up the podcast.
Up the Poshcast and the Posh Women Cast.